This webcast is made possible by the listener members of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support. Steinway & Sons is a proud sponsor of the ASCAP Deems Taylor Virgil Thompson broadcast award-winning program Between the Keys, featuring Jed Distler. More information about Steinway & Sons, makers of handcrafted pianos since 1853, is available at www.steinway.com. And welcome to Between the Keys. This is Jed Distler, artist in residence for the Classical Network. And I've decided this hour to play recordings that have been on my mind and some pieces of music that you might not always get to hear on the radio, or some pieces that may not be so familiar to you, as well as performers that may not necessarily register on your radar yet really deserve attention. So I'm titling this episode Some Nice Things I've Missed. That's actually the name of a Frank Sinatra recording from the early 1970s, when he was covering 70s pop songs like Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree and Bad, Bad Leroy Brown. But we're not going to hear any of those songs on this show. No. We're going to start off by a piece by Frank Martin, the Swiss composer, born in 1890. He died in 1974. He wrote a piece called The Piano Trio on Popular Irish Melodies in 1825. It was one of his earlier pieces, and I think it's a very inventive work. The piece actually resulted from a commission by an amateur American composer who wanted Frank Martin to write an original composition based on familiar Irish folk tunes. But instead, Frank Martin decided to find obscure Irish tunes, and probably the kind of tunes that were much more authentic. Obviously, it was not what this American patron was looking for, and the commission was canceled. But in spite of that, Frank Martin finished the trio. And we're going to hear the first of its three movements. This is a movement marked Allegro Moderato. The performance is by the Lincoln Trio. Thank you. music by Frank Martin, the Allegro Moderato, the first movement from his piano trio on popular Irish melodies, composed in 1925. We heard the Lincoln Trio, whose members are violinist Desiree Rustrat, cellist David Confliff, and the pianist Marta Aznavourian. I recently reviewed a reissue of pianist Walter Gieseking's 1954 recordings devoted to the piano music of Maurice Ravel. I was particularly struck by his performance of the Pavane for a Dead Princess, because we tend to think of Gieseking as a very straightforward, modern player with very steady tempos, maybe somewhat cool in a way, but this performance is full of little dabs of rubato and tempo fluctuations, and something that I didn't really expect, yet these kinds of interpretive liberties he takes are very subtle, and they really enhance the music, and perhaps they tell you something about the music that you don't know and that he knows better than anyone. But I think it's a very interesting and in some ways unusual performance. So let's listen to music of Ravel, Walter Gieseking at the piano.
Thank you.
The Pavane for a Dead Princess by Maurice Ravel in a 1954 recording by Walter Gieseking. Next, we have the British composer Herbert Howells, who was born in 1892. He died in 1983. He was one of the few 20th century composers to write extensively for the clavichord, which you might consider to be a smaller cousin to the harpsichord. It's an instrument that's very soft, yet within its soft basic volume, it's capable of tiny, minute, dynamic variation and even vibrato. Anyway, many of Herbert Howells' clavichord pieces are dedicated to his musical friends, colleagues, composers, and performers, such as this little piece we're going to hear called Dartz Sauerband, which is dedicated to the musicologist and the keyboard player Thurston Dart. And what I love about this piece is its dark qualities and the clashes between major and minor harmonies, yet all of this kind of activity contained within the surface of a courtly sauerband dance. We're going to hear it played by clavichordist Julian Perkins, music by Herbert Howells. Music by Herbert Howells, one of his many, many pieces for the clavichord. The title of this one was Dartz Sauerband, written in dedication to the musicologist Thurston Dart. It was performed by Julian Perkins, who has recently recorded all of the Herbert Howells clavichord music for the Prima Facie label. I often will grab a random CD to put on in the morning when I'm preparing breakfast and making my obligatory espresso and feeding my two cats, Shuby and Pablo, and basically just procrastinating until I have to get started with my work. And a few mornings ago, I put on one of the live recordings from the Lugano Festival Martha Argerich project. And I hadn't heard this in a while, Rachmaninoff's Second Suite for Two Pianos. It's a work that Argerich has recorded on several occasions with different pianists, but I was really impressed all over again with this live performance from the 2003 festival with pianists Martha Argerich and Gabriella Montero. I want to play the waltz movement from the Rachmaninoff suite because these pianists take a tempo that I think is insanely fast. Maybe it's a tad too brisk for my taste, but the ensemble work and the phrasing is so together and effortless and just seemingly tossed off. Well, look, just listen for yourself. You'll hear what I mean.
Thank you.
The Waltz from Rachmaninoff's Second Suite for Two Pianos, Martha Argerich and Gabriela Montero, in a live performance recorded in 2003 from the Lugano Festival. I should remind you that my name is Jed Distler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and you are listening to Between the Keys. The name Alexander Borofsky does not often come up in discussions about great pianists of the past, mainly because his recordings have not been easily available. He was born in Latvia in 1889 and he died in Massachusetts in 1968. One of Borofsky's piano students, William Jones, has put together a website dedicated to Borofsky's career and recorded legacy. There's a lot of documentation and valuable information, and there's information available on the website alexanderborofsky.blogspot.com for obtaining a recording that Borofsky made in the mid-1950s of J.S. Bach's complete well-tempered clavier. These recordings originally appeared on LP in an extremely limited edition, and they've been marvelously remastered for CD. I like to play the E minor prelude and fugue from Book 2 of The Well-Tempered Clavier, pianist Alexander Borofsky. Thank you. pianist Alexander Borofsky playing the Prelude and Fugue in E minor from the Well-Tempered Clavier Book 2 by J.S. Bach. This pianist recorded the entire Well-Tempered Clavier for a limited edition release in the 1950s on LP. It is now available on CD. Information about this release can be found on the website alexanderborofsky.blogspot.com. Now, here's a question. What would happen if Aaron Copland's Rodeo and, let's say, one of Rachmaninoff's piano concertos got together and had a baby? It might sound something like the 1957 piano concerto by the American composer Lee Hoiby. I know, I'm being a little flip, but although Lee Hoiby probably is best known as an opera composer and a composer of art songs, he also was quite an accomplished pianist. He, in fact, studied with a great Busoni pupil, Egon Petri, and in fact, Lee Hoiby made private tape recordings with Egon Petri at the piano. I even remember hearing Lee Hoiby play a solo piano recital back in 1979. I think it was at the old Yamaha showroom in New York. I vaguely remember he played some Schumann. Maybe it was Schumann's Carnival. Maybe somebody has the program to this. And I also heard him on several occasions at the piano accompanying singers in extended scenes from his operas. But in this recording of Lee Hoiby's piano concerto, the soloist is John Atkins, who actually premiered the work. We're going to hear the Allegro Vivo finale. Lee Hoiby describes this as a movement that offers a dancing 7/8 solo piano figure by the way of the main theme, which is counterpointed by a separate rhythm from muted brass, and the last pages are marked by a steadily increasing momentum leading into a fortissimo close. Again, the piano soloist is John Atkins with the Polish National Radio Orchestra, conducted by Jan Krenz, music by Lee Hoiby. Thank you. Music by the late Lee Hoiby, the finale from his 1957 piano concerto, the Polish National Radio Orchestra, conducted by Jan Krenz, and the piano soloist was John Atkins. This recording has appeared on several different labels, and it's relatively easy to find if you do the research. In 1998, the BMG label brought out a 9-disc collection that gathered just about all of the recordings made by the great American pianist William Capel, who died in a tragic plane crash in 1953 when he was only 31. There are a number of recordings in this set that had not been released beforehand, including this lovely performance of the Romance in F-sharp major, Opus 28, number 2, by Robert Schumann. Let's listen to it. Pianist William Capel. Thank you. The Romance in F sharp major, opus 28, number 2, by Robert Schumann, in a recording made in 1949 by the pianist William Capel. My piano teacher, Stanley Locke, was a fellow classmate of William Capel. They both studied with Olga Samaroff at the Juilliard School, and Stanley liked to tell me how Capel was jealous of his Mozart playing. But then Stanley would say to Capel, "Well, you're jealous of my Mozart. Well, if I could only play Rachmaninoff like you." Well, you know, we all have our strengths. But here is an example of some Mozart playing that is clear, that's stylish, that's intelligently balanced, and I think also innately musical, where both mind and heart come together. And it's with a pianist who we tend to think of more as a figurehead or a cultural symbol rather than as someone who at his best was a really exemplary artist and musician and pianist, Van Cliburn. This is the finale from Mozart's C major sonata, Kerschel 330.
Thank you.
Music of Mozart, the finale from his Sonata in C Major, Kerschel number 330, with pianist Van Cliburn. Well, I see it's almost time for us to say goodbye this week, but not after we have had a little dessert in the form of a few Brahms Hungarian dances. Hungarian Dances, numbers 12 and 21 by Brahms, with the piano duo of Julius Katchen and Jean-Pierre Marty. This is Jed Disler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and you have been listening to Between the Keys, which is an exclusive production of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. I work especially hard on this program to feature piano music that builds bridges and embraces diversity, and that's what we need to do, not just as musicians, but also as citizens. So until next week at this time, stay well and please be kind. Thanks so much for listening.